quick. While I make these announcements, I'll let you be turning over the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Book of Matthew, chapter 14, this morning. The VBS has been about 2 or 3 weeks since we had vacation Bible school. Nobody in the church has signed up for a DVD yet. And you might not have known the way we announced it, but we was going to go out on a website and everybody was going to pick. So if you want a DVD, Ryan, just make you a list today. If you go by sound room, let him know you'd like a DVD. We'll get them ordered. That's the reason we hadn't ordered. We figured people in the church would want one. The reason we're taking orders this year, in the past we haven't done that. And we've got, I think, not last year, but the year before, we had 60 DVDs left over. We made enough money that we covered them. We didn't waste money, but we still got 60 DVDs sitting in the basement. And we just don't want to do that again. So we'd like to order enough for each one of them. And then let's remember Sister Bethany Berry Hill. Some of you may not know, they turned her dad over to hospice. They give him a couple days to live. And so you pray for Sister Bethany and Brother Jason this morning. I know they'd appreciate that. They come out of our church, and as here, I know they're dear to y'all, and her dad and them, she is raised here, and a lot of you know Brother Norton better than I do, so really lift them up in your prayers. I know his wife needs your prayers. Be with Brother Troy this morning. Y'all pray for Troy this morning. He's filling in for his dad. Pray for Brother Sammy. His surgery went well. He's doing good, but he's still waiting on a couple things before they let him go home. And Brother Randy's revival starts tonight, I believe, or tomorrow night. I'm not sure if it's, I think it starts tonight at Blue Springs, so you pray for him. And then remember Brother EJ, since he's not here today, most time he's at prison trips when he ain't here. I hadn't talked to him last 2 or 3 days, and I didn't think he had this weekend, but he may have had somewhere to go or to preach, so let's remember him. Either way, if he ain't even preaching, I'm sure he desires your prayers. Amen. We all need prayers. Good to have Brother Gary with us this morning, his wife Dominique and their children. Love them, appreciate them. You got nothing on your heart, do you, Brother Gary? All right, so it's good to have them with us this morning. I'm going to let you stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to start reading at verse 1, chapter 14, the book of Matthew. The Bible said, at that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do shew forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she being before instructed of her father, her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. You may be seated tonight, this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, once again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school and you, Lord, moving on hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit passing our way, Lord, this morning and filling your presence. Lord, those that's already prayed, God, and got their hearts just brought maybe some trouble or some things, Lord, that they needed to just lay at your feet. And I'm glad, Lord, we've got somebody we can come and talk to, Lord, in times of need. And, Lord, sometimes just to say thank you, Lord, for how good, Lord, that you've been to each one of us. God, I thank you, Lord, for each person, Lord, that's made an effort to come this way today. God, visitors and members alike. God, I pray, Lord, you continue being with Ty and Sister Debbie, Sister Sue, and all the others in the church, Lord, that's dealing with sicknesses and illnesses. Lord, you know that each one of them stands in need of. And God, we already can thank you and praise you, Lord, for the prayers that you've answered in all these needs already. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, this morning. It's our lot to stand. Lord, use us, Lord, again to feed your people. God, I pray, Lord, if there's one here today, Lord, that don't know you, it's our personal Savior. I pray this will be that good hour, Lord, they'd call out on your name. God, I pray, Lord, now you'd just let heaven come, Lord, and you'd just touch each one of our hearts. And, Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, we come to the altar and just lay it all at your feet. Lord, we can leave here today saying it's been good to be in your house for us in Jesus' precious and holy name. We ask all these things. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with us over the book of Numbers for just a moment. Book of Numbers, chapter 7 and verse 13. I want to read one verse there and then we'll go back to the book of Matthew. Chapter 7, the book of Numbers and verse 13 says this. And his offering was one silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels and one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them was full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. And you might wonder why we read that this morning, but a silver charger was a platter weighing about 3 pounds. And so that'll give you an idea this morning what we're talking about. We begin to talk about that of a charger. But the Bible said here in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, and starting in verse 1, that at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard that, of the fame of Jesus. Now, this might not mean a lot to you. And real quick, and I just want to share this and then we'll get on in the message, but I never really knew what a tetrarch was, but a tetrarch was a third in command behind the king, and then before that there's like an ethnarch, and then there was the king. So you'd have the king and then somebody else in line, and then you'd have the third in line behind the king, which was Herod at this time. Here in the Bible said that Herod had wanted to kill John. The Bible said there he heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. Why did he think that Jesus was John? That's the first thing with the Holy Spirit's help this morning. There must have been a lot of similarities between the way John preached and Jesus preached, and John lived and Jesus lived, and the power John had, Jesus had. You might say this morning, Brother Jeff, you sure have been preaching a lot about John here lately. I'll tell you what Jesus said about John. There's never a man greater than John the Baptist, born of a woman. Amen. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ, and his daddy was not of this earth. That's the reason he is greater than John. Amen. Amen. John carried a lot of weight with the people there, and all of them, I tell you, they loved John. They knew John's preaching was from heaven. But here, Herod the Tetrarch, he was bothered here a little bit. He said, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Amen. That sounds like a guilty conscience to me. Amen. Herod had killed John. The next verses after that we read, and it sounds like he's fixing to kill John, but that was going back and recapping what had already happened. John's already dead. Matthew is recording this chapter to let us know some things, and when they go on and they're heavy on our hearts this morning, I'm glad we got somebody we can take our problems to. Amen. Amen. If I had a thought above another this morning with the Lord's help, in verse 12 down there, and I'm jumping ahead, but I at least want you to know where I'm headed, would be the title of this. They went and told Jesus. Amen. They went and told Jesus. John the Baptist, he has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do you shew forth themselves in him. Herod believed that Jesus was John, rose from the dead. day, and that he was going about doing great and mighty works, and that Herod never should have killed him. The Bible said this, that Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the multitude. He was afraid of the people. Amen. I tell you, I like when I can get close enough to the Lord and people gets worried about talking about me, because worried about who's going to hear them. Amen. If we live close enough, there'll be people that has confidence in the way we preach, sing, pray, and live. Amen. Amen. People won't talk about us in the presence of other people. I'll say this, if they're not afraid to talk about you, amen, I'll just, you don't have much of a reputation at a run in the first place, amen. We all strive to live for the Lord, but John, Brother Tony, he lived in such a way, being the forerunner of Christ, Brother Mallory, and setting the stage and getting people ready for Jesus, that Herod had mistaken John, amen, for the coming Messiah. It'd be good if we had some Christians that lived close enough, they mistook us for Jesus. Amen. Amen. You ever had somebody say, you must be a Christian. You must be one of them. Amen. Put a smile on your face this morning. That means they think it's, you're acting like Jesus and Jesus' children. Amen. I'm glad this morning we can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. I'm not trying to please men. Amen. I believe if we please the Lord, the Bible said that he'd make even our very enemies be at peace with us. I do believe that. I believe if we live for the Lord, everybody on every corner is not going to be your enemy. If we live for the Lord, you'll have enemies. Amen. You'll have people against you. And that's fine, Brother Nick, to have people against us. As long, like what Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Amen. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I'm glad I'm on God's team, ain't you? Amen. The Bible said Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison. Y'all remember this? Where John had, this is jumping over to another story, but this is all wrapped up together. Where John sent a couple of his disciples over to talk to Jesus, Brother Darrell. And he said, go ask him if he's the one we should look for, or is there another? Amen. Me and Darrell, we've been singing this song for years. They said they come back. Jesus said, go tell them the blind are seeing, the lame are walking around, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised from the ground, the poor are hearing the gospel preached. I could almost hear John in prison. That's him. That's him. Ain't no need in asking anybody else. That's him. Amen. That's the one I've been preaching about, whose shoes I'm not worthy to get down, even touch his shoe latches this morning. I want you to know today, John was a great man, but he told of one greater coming after him. Amen. He sure did. The Bible said he bound him up and he put him in prison. And Herodias, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for John had said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Herod was doing what he did because of what Herodias wanted. Amen. It wasn't what Herod wanted, it's what Herodias wanted. Amen. And I try to listen to Amanda and Brother Tony and do what my wife wants me to do. Amen. I believe you do too. And you do too, Brother Nick and Thomas and Tony. We go to all of us. Brother Mallory, every one of us wants to do what our wife wants us to do, or our kinfolks want us to do. But I want to say something this morning. No matter what our kin folks might want, as the preacher say or do, if it goes contrary out of the Word of God, we ought to stand for the truth, stand against all that's going against the Word of God. Amen. Well, his doing wasn't right. Wasn't right for him to have his brother's wife. Amen. This still ain't right today. Amen. And he said when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. When Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. I want you to think about this for a moment and get this picture in your head. Herodias was still sort of working in the back of her mind how she was going to get to John the Baptist. You know, there's people out there like that even today. I don't believe everything I hear about every preacher from everybody, whether it be man, a woman, a boy or girl, because I know everything it says is not always true. I like what one man said at an ordination one time. He said, you can't stop people from lying on you, but just don't let it be true. Amen. And if we live close enough to the Lord, we ought to be able to live down any lie that's said on any of us. Amen. Herod wanted to kill John, but he feared the multitude. But Herodias was working in the back of her mind. She certainly was. She had a great hatred for John the Baptist. Now, let me just say this. I want people to love me. I really do. I want people to like me. Amen. But I'm not going to preach a certain way and change what I believe so they'll like me. Amen. And that's what John was doing. John wanted people to love him. John wanted people to come here and preach. But John was still going to tell Philip it wasn't right. Some things ain't right. It still ain't right to shack up. It still ain't right to drink. Even occasionally. It ain't right to cuss. It ain't right to go to places that we know we shouldn't be. Amen. And don't get mad if somebody tells you that you're doing wrong. Amen. Be thankful that you got somebody that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. You know what Paul said? He said, when I preach the gospel to you, I got to preach this on Monday night of the revival down there at Steve's church about it. There's not another gospel. But when Paul was preaching, he told him, he said, when I came and preached the gospel to you, you received it with gladness and joy, and you loved me. But now you started listening to another gospel. And now that I've come and told you the truth, he said, you would have died for me the first time had I come through town. You'd have plucked you, even your very eye out. He said, but now you become my enemy because I tell you the truth. Amen. They become Paul's enemy. The very one that introduced the gospel to him. You know, it's amazing to me. And I've seen this happen to other churches. It ain't just me. It's happened to me. But I've seen it happen to other preachers. My heart goes out to them. Brother Thomas, they'll preach a gospel and somebody gets saved. They'll baptize them. They'll join the church. They'll teach them in Sunday school and preach a gospel to them until they get to where they're doing something wrong. And then a preacher addresses it. And I've heard people say, well, he's full of the devil. Talking about the man of God. I said, well, he wasn't full of the devil when he preached salvation to your grandchildren and your children. Amen. He wasn't full of the devil when you joined the church. Amen. He wasn't full of the devil when he baptized you. And, bro, I want you to know, he's still not full of the devil when he preaches the truth and it goes against us. Amen. And I said against us. I asked a lot of preachers to come in and preach for me. Sometimes when they preach, they get on Jeff. Amen. I gave them that because I'm the only one that knows when they're getting on me. Amen. I'm not exempt from being preached to. I'm not exempt from being told that I'm wrong in an area of my life. Amen. But I'll tell you something. If we're not careful, we'll get bitter. And we'll let something get down inside of us and eat at us. Amen. Instead of just taking a good counsel that comes from the Lord and pray and repent and get right. Praise the Lord. And the message won't bother you. Amen. I've heard people ask people to preach. I'm not going to mention no names. I try to be careful what I say when I'm talking to them. They say, I asked so-and-so to preach this morning. And boy, he come in preaching a message. And you know, I just don't know about that. That's more of the preacher's message. That pastor ought to be preaching that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, if the message comes from the Lord, any man should have the right to preach the truth. I've heard people say, well, I just don't know if I'm going to ask him again. I just don't know what he's going to say when he comes. Well, if he's going to tell the truth, let him preach again. Amen. It shouldn't bother us when the truth's preached. It shouldn't bother us when the truth comes out. Amen. And if it bothers us, that means we're guilty of not doing what's right. Amen. Amen. Herod was having a birthday. The daughter Herodias had danced before them. I don't know how Herodias' daughter wound up over there dancing before Herod. That was her uncle. I'd looked that up, and she was dancing in front of her uncle. Amen. Not only that, said when somebody in a position like that, Brother Tony, had a birthday, and they called people in to dance, I said they was doing exotic dancing. They wasn't doing no slow dance. They wasn't coming in doing something that might be pleasing to the Lord. Brother Nick, but they was carrying on in a way. You might say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Jeff. Why would this girl, this niece, be dancing exotically in front of her uncle? I want you to know, even in the Word of God, there's people that did things that wasn't right, right in the very church. Amen. And it was addressed by Paul. Family members sleeping with one another. People couldn't get along with one another. And Paul addressed it and said, it wasn't right. Amen. And it still ain't right today. He was there at his birthday party. Amen. I like having a birthday party every once in a while, don't you? I don't know why. I didn't know I was going to preach on this morning last night. Naomi and Trevor went out to get something to eat and pick up something for all of us. And I said, pick up a cake. Yeah, I do that periodically. And only cake they could find was a Bratz cake. It had them little girls on it. Amen. I didn't really care what was on it. I wanted the icing in the cake. Amen. And Amanda mistaken said, I think Uncle Jeff picked up a cake early for Shane because his birthday's in like a week. We ain't going to have it. And my Naomi said, no, Mama, he was just thinking about himself tonight. And that was the truth. I didn't like to hear that, but the truth's the truth. And when I asked for a cake, I wasn't thinking about anybody but Jeff Clark. I wanted white icing and yellow metal. And amen. If we're not careful, the truth will hurt. Amen. It hurts sometimes, don't it? Even coming from the little kids. He was having a birthday. The Bible said, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. I believe he done had a little bit too much to drink. I don't believe he would have just told her anything. I mean, he had the kind of power. She could have just asked for anything and he'd been bound to his oath. Oaths in the Bible will mean a whole lot more than they do today. Amen. Brother Mal, you come from a time, I know you do. I've heard my dad, my grandfather talk about it, where they said, used to, you didn't need a contract. A man's word meant something when he shook your hand. It was an oath, it was a bond. You could go in the bank, borrow money, and say, look, I'll pay back such and such by next year. And a handshake was good enough because people held to their oath. It meant something when they made a promise. Amen. Not today. But I'm going to tell you something, it's still wrong to make a promise and not keep it. That might hit all of us a little bit right there. First thing I'm thinking about right now. See, when we preach something like that, we don't always know it's just going to come back and slap us in the face. Thomas, I just said that, and then immediately I said that. I don't share this. This is how preachers deal with things. I just said that, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit come back and said, now don't forget you told that fella you was going to come over and get that lawnmower and fix it, and you still ain't done it. I've been busy this week. I've been preaching about it. I could try to make all excuses in the world, but I told him if I couldn't get over there, I'd send Ryan over there. Well, I ain't even told Ryan. Where you at, son? You got to go over and pick that lawnmower up. Amen. One of us got to do something quick. I'm already getting in trouble by the Holy Spirit. You might say, Brother Jeff, how can you preach? How the Holy Spirit going to help you preach when you're still not doing everything? Nobody's perfect. That's what I want you to know. But God loves all of us. Amen. And the truth is the truth for everybody. Amen. What had happened? Brother James, he borrowed my lawnmower you gave me. He took it over and he's cutting his grass. And the little propeller's made out of fan. If you'd have it, it busted all to pieces. And he wanted to fix it. He didn't get half his yard cut. He said, well, that's just the way I believe. I believe if I borrow something, I should fix it. And I was to be honest with you, I could have let him. And I said, look, I got a guy that does me real good. He'll fix that lawnmower. For practicing nothing, I said, I just need to come over and take a picture of it. Get the part and send it to him, and then I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. He goes, nah, just this and that. I said, I promise you didn't tear that lawnmower up on that little bit of grass. You cut a couple strips. I appreciate him for offering. I could have took advantage. I could have said, yeah, well, it wasn't wobbling either when you took it. That's what some people does, Brother Tom. They go the extra mile. I'm not being ugly. Listen to me. You ever had a wreck in a car? Just say amen. And there's already a dent and a busted tail right there. And they said, yeah, I see here where it went all the way down, got your tail light. Oh, yeah, yeah. Busted the tail light and everything. Well, there ain't no tail light on the ground. Some cops just take your word for it. I've had a few people get mad at me when I'm standing there and they're like, yeah, it busted my tail light. I said, no, your tail light was busted when I hit you, buddy. Amen. I don't see no pieces, no tail light laying nowhere, and they start looking around. See, the truth, if you hit them, and you're at fault, that's okay, I'll pay for it. I'm not paying for the taillight that was already busted. Amen. Everybody wants extra. Just tell the truth. Y'all with me? He said, she being before instructed of her mother. Said, mother done talk to her. Said, when you get down there and you dance before your uncle Herod, if he gets all happy and there, sometimes there maybe they'll get a little drunk, and they'll say something not meaning something. He asks you, what can he do? He appreciates you for coming down. Are you telling him you want John the Baptist's head? That's what the Bible said. Nick, his niece didn't want John the Baptist's head. Her mama wanted his head. Amen. That's the truth. You know what's sad? There's a lot of kids today that don't like a certain preacher or a certain deacon or a certain person because their mom and daddy don't like them. Amen. You know, if we better be real careful that the person that we're talking about that we get our kids against might have been the very one that was going to preach salvation to them. I've seen that happen. They'd be a member of a church for years and years and years. And their kids are not getting saved, not getting saved, not getting saved. Come to find out later, the kids is like, well, I don't care nothing for him. What'd he do? Well, daddy said, mama said. I tell you, your kids take a lot of weight in what we say. You know that? So we can say things and really not even be telling the truth. And I had somebody here just this past couple weeks said, well, I know this and I know good and well that my daddy or my mom wouldn't do this or that. I know that. I'm going to tell you something that you don't know. Your mom and daddy's human like everybody else. Amen. Give you another verse of scripture. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every woman a liar. I added that one right there. It's because mankind. I don't want you to think I'm adding to the Bible, but men ain't the only liars. Amen. We're not, Brother Darrell. We're not the only liars. Women lie, men lie, and kids lie. And that's just the way it is. But God does not lie. Bible said he cannot lie because he is the truth. I want to get down to this. I promise you, I'm about done. I stayed on some of that longer than I thought I would. Bible said the king was sorry. You know what that means? He didn't want to do it. He heard the request that she made. She wanted John the Baptist's head on a charger. And he was sorry that he ever asked her. You ever ask somebody, say, can I do anything for you? And they take advantage of you and just go. I mean, there's been a few times I said, well, if I could do anything for you, cut the grass, bring some groceries. Yeah, I mean, you could paint the house. Man, needed painting for 10 years, and the car needs a new motor. And I mean, they go on and on for you. You know what? You owe them $20,000. I have to get a second mortgage to help somebody. Amen. You know, I'll tell you what I like. I like when people say, no, we're fine. And then you get to do a little something for them. Nobody don't need to be asking for help. God's going to send you help. I believe that with all my heart. God has always helped me. You know, the Bible said this, that he comes to us in a time of need. Amen. When we need it, he'll help us. You might say, God, it's not even here, Brother Jeff. No, but his children is, and he sends them to help us. Amen. Ain't you glad that God helps us when we need it? He's helped me. I know that I can't speak for everybody, but I know in times of need, when I needed help, he's helped me. So many times that I couldn't tell. And he's used a lot of you in this church to help me. He sure has. Spiritually, financially, and physically. Sister Deb, you're the healthiest, eating healthiest person that I know. And just it's a proven fact. Everybody knows that. I won't never forget when my brother-in-law passed away. And Steve, my brother-in-law, he was supposed to do the embalming on my brother-in-law, James, Amanda's brother. And he said, there was one thing about it, that boy was healthy. Boy, he was one of the healthiest people I ever embalmed. He was just healthy. He said, you could just tell he was in good shape. But I want you to know something, just because he's in good shape don't mean you're not going to get sick. I don't know anybody that's took better care of their body than Sister Debbie. So we don't know why we go through things, but I'm going to tell you something, God knows. And he shows up in time of need. Ain't you glad of that? That the Lord shows up just in the very nick of time when we need help. When the doctors can't do nothing. And the banker can't do nothing. And nobody else can do nothing. God still can work because he's God. Amen. God's not limited. Well, y'all a little quiet this morning. This is one of them messes y'all be up on your feet shouting, yes, he helps me. Praise the Lord. Next time when he's helping, he might say, no, you didn't appreciate it too much. For neighbor helps, we'll tell everybody in town about it. You ever had somebody say, boy, he's a good man. I'll tell you what he did for me. Boy, she's a good woman. I'll tell you what she did. I've heard people brag on my mom time and time. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Darrell, say, she sat with my daughter when she had cancer all the way through for 6, 7 months. Boy, she's done this and she's done that. And that's fine, but I don't hardly hear too many people bragging on Jesus like that. And I'm going to tell you something. He's did more for us than anybody has. All I want us to realize is he needs to be bragged about more than anybody. If somebody's helping you, most likely it's because Jesus is in their life and he's moved on them to want them to help you. The king was sorry nevertheless for his oath's sake. See, his word meant something. Even though he didn't want to do it, he said, because I made an oath, I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's what I want to get. Because he had made a promise, he said, I'm going to do it. And the Bible said, and then when it sat at meat, he commanded it be given her. And he sent beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. They brought that big silver platter in there, 3-pound platter, had John the Baptist's head laying on it. Said, here's what you asked for. She carried it back home, said, Mama, here you go. There's John's head. But I'll tell you what, this is what I believe. You can believe what you want to, but I believe on the day of judgment, she's going to stand there and God's going to bring up when that day
when John the Baptist's head was brought in there to her. I don't know so much that he's going to hold her daughter accountable because her mama put her up to it. And there's going to be a lot of mamas and daddies going to answer for things they put their kids up to. Amen. It didn't know any better. I don't know how old she was. It really don't matter, but mama put her up to it. But God is going to hold her accountable. We better be careful. God's going to hold us accountable for the things that happens in our life. Amen. I believe he's going to hold preachers accountable for what's went on in the church. Deacons. I believe he's going to hold accountable song leaders for songs that were sung. If they wasn't godly, if it was worldly song, rock and roll song, I believe he's going to bring it up. If it's Sunday school teachers that taught things that wasn't the truth, he's going to bring it up. I'm going to say, why did you teach that junk? You knew that wasn't right. Your daddy and your daddy's daddy, they taught you better than that. Your mama taught you better than that. You know what's really sad? I work with a guy right now, and he's the worst cusser out there. He cusses and cusses. I had a guy the other day, just about every one of them cussing. He asked me, he said, why? He goes, I know, Jeff, you believe in God and all that stuff. I don't believe in all that stuff. But if I believed in that stuff, which means he's thinking about it, praise the Lord. He said, if I believed in that stuff, he said, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think God would want you to work on a job with all of us that cuss? I said, I'm glad you asked that. That's a good question. I said, you know, he could have put me down in a church somewhere with all these holy men and women. We could talk about the Lord all day long, but he put me out here on a job site with all y'all cussers and drinkers and shackers up and everything else. His eyes got real big. I said, y'all doing a little bit more than cussing, amen. But I said, you know why I believe God put me down here with you? So I can be a light to some of you. I said, I hope when I leave here some of you ain't cussing. And I hope when I leave here some of y'all done got married and ain't shacking up. Amen. Tell you what God did for me at Print Pack when I used to work with a bunch of rough guys. And I've shared this a couple of times, and I'm going to bring my marks to close. One of the guys, Brother Nick, he did drugs more than anybody. He called me about 2 or 3 years ago. Jeff, I've been trying to get your number for a long time. I run into somebody and they gave me your number. I just want to let you know I got saved. Thank you for telling me everything you ever said. The nights that you talked to me and I'd walk off and just get mad, I didn't want to hear it no more. And you keep talking about the Lord. He said, I got saved. It paid off. Biggest drunk in the plant, 400 people. Come in drunk, leave work drunk, sneak a drink on the job. You know what he's doing now? He's a full-time pastor. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hey, I used to work on him all the time, working ink running. I'd go there and pick it up my ink. Hey, Brother Nick, one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, he called and said, is Jeff there? Man, it woke me up and I rolled over and it was him. He was on the other end on the phone crying. He didn't get saved that night. He didn't get his heart right with the Lord, but he wanted to talk to him. The Lord was getting a hold of him. Amen. And he called me, Brother Nick. You know, when we least expect it and we keep living for the Lord, God will allow us to make a difference in people's lives. I don't know how many people I've seen get their hearts right with the Lord. And you know what that boy told me this past week? That was a couple weeks ago I was talking to him. You know what he said this past week? He said, somebody said something. He goes, well, it's about time for me to straighten up. You know, a lot of this foolishness and stuff I've been doing, I need to straighten up. And then he seen I was standing there and he goes, praise the Lord. He said, I know you heard that preacher, but I ain't ready now, so don't start your stuff. Don't start on me right now. I'm just thinking about it. But I'm glad he's thinking about it, ain't you? I mean, we need to pray for people like that, tell them the truth, and make a difference in their lives. Amen. And I hope before I leave here, I really believe God's got me out there for a reason. And every time, Brother Glenn, you know what they say, and I think about you pretty often. Share something good about Brother Glenn before I come to a close. I got out there, and they said, well, you know, you're out on our territory now, preacher. And I'm going to try my best not to cuss, but I'll shake your hand. You want to shake my hand? Waving that hand out there. They said, but you're out on our territory now. I don't know what you've heard, but construction workers, we cuss. We're cussers. And I said, not this construction worker. Oh, yeah, you're going to hang around us long enough and you'll hit your hand or something one day and it's just going to slip out of there. I said, it's got to be in there before it can slip out. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The words just got to be in your heart before they're going to come out of your mouth. And... praise the Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to say I'm above cussing. Peter cursed. I don't know what's... I'm not going to try to cuss. I've never cussed since I've been saved. Thomas, as far as I know, I've never said a cuss word since I've been saved. But I don't know what the future holds. To the best of my ability, I'm never going to cuss. But I guarantee you, you'd ask Peter that day too. He said, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. He said, Peter, by the end of the day, you're going to deny me three times. He just let him know right there. He said, Peter, I know you mean well. I can just almost hear him in our days. Peter, I know you mean well, son, but you're not even going to make it through tonight. You're just not even going to make it through tonight. But Glenn, he was working on a construction site and all them boys was cussing. He told him he'd getting tired of hearing it. And he was the boss. Now, I appreciate a good boss like this. And he told him, he said, from now on, every time you cuss, you got to put wasn't it a dollar in the jug? He had a little jug there, the cussing jug. And every time they cussed, they had to put a dollar in the jug. And when all of them got where they just about quit cussing, he awarded them with a pizza party with all the money they was putting in the jug and cussing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad there's somebody trying to stand for the truth. Amen. Don't cower down to the world. Try to make a difference any way you can. Some of these people ain't been taught any better than that. I tell you, well, come get a verse of song this morning. I didn't even get down to the part. Boy, I really thought I was going to get to that, but it just didn't work out. But I was thinking about, I just got to crying even thinking about it. The Bible said when they killed John, disciples heard about it, and they went and told Jesus. And then the Bible said he got on a ship, went out to a desert place, apart. Next verse after that, and if I've got it right, John was his second cousin. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And so John would have been Jesus' second cousin. I can't imagine knowing how close Jesus was to John, that John was the one that baptized him, that John was his second cousin. They was only 6 months apart, so no doubt probably through the years. Y'all know how it is when you got a cousin and both of you have babies and they're around the same age. They grow up together and they're good friends. And I really believe John and Jesus had a close bond. But I believe it really disturbed the disciples when they heard that John was dead and they went and told Jesus. And that's what was on my heart this morning. Sometimes things come in our life, it really shakes us up. Really does, Brother Matt. It just shakes us up. And I'm going to tell you something. Best thing you can do is just go tell Jesus. They went and told Jesus. Go tell Jesus what's going on in your life. You say, Brother Jeff, he knows what's going on. I know, but he still wants to hear from you. You know, a lot of times my mama knows what I'm going through. Or my dad knows what I'm going through, but I still call them, Brother Matt. And sometimes I say, well, is it getting any better? Have you found your job yet? You know, they don't call all the time. They won't hear from me. And every time I call, we don't always talk about a job or whatever's going on, Brother Darrell. Sometimes they just say, well, glad you're doing good. I ain't heard from you in a while. And I said, I know. Just pray for us. Been working a lot. Been doing this a lot. Been doing that a lot. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants to help you bear your load this morning. That's what I wanted to get across is sometimes we can just go tell Jesus what's going on and he'll help us carry our load. I want us to rise to our feet this morning. How about it? You feel the need to come and pray while they sing whatever verse the song's on their heart.